For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Biden's secret email.
A really fishy story.
The Post claimed that the emails were found on a laptop computer that was brought to a repair shop in Delaware in the spring of 2019.
The FBI is now investigating whether those alleged Hunter Biden emails are actually connected to a larger foreign intelligence operation.
They may be related to a foreign intelligence operation.
Foreign intelligence operation.
Foreign intelligence.
Foreign intelligence.
Foreign intelligence operation.
For all we know, these emails are made up.
The information found on the laptop may be part of a Russian disinformation campaign.
Part of a Russian disinformation effort.
Described by many intelligence experts as having hallmarks.
All the hallmarks.
All the hallmarks of a Russian.
Russian disinformation.
Russian disinformation.
Disinformation campaign.
This is a classic example of the right-wing media.
50 machine. Former national intelligence folks. Who said that what this he's accusing me of is a Russian plant. They have said that this is has all the character. Five former heads of the CIA, both parties, say what he's saying is a bunch of garbage.
This is classic Trump. We have 4 days left, and all of a sudden there's a laptop. There's overwhelming evidence that from the intelligence community that the Russians are engaged.
I still think that the stories from the fall about your son Hunter.
It's a last-ditch effort in this desperate campaign to smear me and my family. The vast majority of the intelligence people have come out and said there's no basis at all.
Welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show here at 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL, 5:08 in the p.m. here on a Monday, December the 5th, 2022. Stell, that was what, a minute 30? I know it seemed like an eternity. That was a minute 30 seconds?
Minute 35.
That probably could have gone on for 5 or 10 or 15 minutes of all of the comments that were made about the Hunter Biden laptop. And as Chris, as you talked about in the corner that we just debated, that we just discussed, they now want to say, well, that's old news. Well, The old news was they declared 2 years ago that there was no news here, and this was all fake, phony, and concocted by the magical, mythical right-wing conspiracy.
Yeah, and if the media admits anything about the Hunter Biden laptop story, they don't mention anything about the business ties to Russia, the president probably knowing about this and being associated. What they'll say is the information on Hunter Biden's laptop may convict him of gun charges, lying on a gun application, and it may show tax evasion. That's what they'll give up. They'll say tax evasion and maybe a gun charge, but they totally overlook the Tony Bobulinski and get a cut for the big guy and doing business with a Russian or Chinese agent.
It's that little meme, that little cartoon meme of the little stick figure with the words, the point, going by over his head, right? Missing the point. Completely missing the... There it goes. There goes the point. Because, yes, as you mentioned, this is really about the 10% or more in some situations for the big guy. Whether or not Joe Biden, as the sitting president of the United States, is a compromised character because of his involvement with the Communist Party of China due to his family's business dealings.
Yeah, and the thing is, there's not so much a problem with doing business with foreign governments. You must register, of course, and that you can't be doing business with a foreign government while you're vice president of the United States using your son as a proxy to get business. That's where you have the issue.
That is exactly right. Hey, it is 5:10, which means, Chris, we need to... Oh, we have music. Wow. Look at us go. Wow. We're like a real radio show and everything. Jeff Allen probably hates when we say stuff like that. It's fun. Hey, it's the first giveaway for the St. Louis Conservative Christmas on the Tim Jones and Chris Arb Show. Katie Fitzpatrick informed us that Kristen Sanders has won. Kristen Sanders, you've won. You've won a pair of tickets to the St. Louis Aquarium. I believe, Stell, we're going to be in touch with them. Is that correct?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, because... Yes. We'll be in touch with you because we already know who you are. Mm-hmm. You signed up. You registered at newstalkstl.com. We would love for all of you to sign up and register. We have a ton of items that we're going to be giving away over the next couple of weeks on all four shows. Gift cards to Steph's Pizza and the Great Harvest Bread Company, Bluff City Outdoors, the St. Louis Aquarium, the big giant wheel at Union Station, T-shirts with our cool new logo, Nutcracker tickets, future tickets for Monster Jam, Disney on Ice, the City Museum, and Jurassic World Live.
I'm just wondering, the tickets to the big Ferris wheel, can they be deferred until April?
Too cold?
Yeah.
I haven't been on the wheel. Have you guys been on the wheel?
Yes.
No, I haven't, actually.
Yes.
Is it enclosed?
It is enclosed, yes.
Is there a heater in there?
Is there heaters?
There may be.
Okay.
Very possibly.
Just bring somebody with a lot of hot air, like one of us. Yeah, bring one of us, and we'll have plenty of hot air. Hey, so congratulations to Kristen Sanders. One pair of tickets to the St. Louis Aquarium. We'll be in touch with you, Kristen. Hope you enjoy those. And more chances to win can be found at newstalkstl.com. You can register as many times as you want to give yourself a better chance to win over the next couple of weeks, the St. Louis Conservative Christmas. There you go. Sponsored by Newstalk STL and all of our fantastic partners. We thank you all for providing all of those goodies for all of our listeners.
Great prizes.
Indeed. All right. In follow-up to the montage of the media, the Biden administration, Democrats, and other commentators, I'm going to dig a little deeper into the importance of the Twitter document dump in today's speaker's stump.
Listen to me, listen to me.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. Are you not entertained?
So that's another reason we need communism.
It's time for the Speaker's Stump Speech, sponsored by Hanson's Tree Service at hansonstree.com.
So many would argue, and this is not us being insurrectionists, this is not us being election deniers, this is simply reporting facts. Look, it's a fact. It's a fact that the Hunter Biden laptop exists. It's a fact that Hunter Biden abandoned that laptop at a computer store. And I can tell you from the fact that I had to study this in law school, and I think talking about it, I had to write an essay on it in my real estate class, real estate law class. The subject of abandoned property. Look, if you leave something somewhere for a certain period of time and you never ever go back to get it again, I'm sorry, but too bad, so sad. It becomes in the possession of the person that you left it in. Now, it's a pretty long period of time, but here's the philosophy behind that. Why should someone else have to be responsible for your stuff until the end of time, right? Can you imagine, like, people who run pawn stores or curio shops or anything like that, or computer repair specialists? People probably leave stuff all the time and they may never go back and get it. Well, eventually, after a certain period of statutes of limitations passes, it's considered abandoned property. So Hunter Biden left that there, and so, you know, the fella turned it over, and it got looked into, and it got dissected and bisected, and what we learned from that was everything we've been talking about over the last 2 years. Well, the New York Post got a hold of this laptop pretty early in the game. To their credit, Miranda Devine wrote a series of articles for this for the New York Post, and she's also written a freaking book on the whole thing. There's so much material on this Hunter Biden laptop. She was able to publish an entire volume on it. What we've learned just from the little bits and pieces that came out around the time of the election that weren't censored or suppressed was that if people had known about some of these subject matter areas, they would not have voted for Joe Biden. There are an infinite number of polls out there, if you believe polls these days, that prove that point. So when Donald Trump says things like, well, you know, the election was rigged against me, he's kind of got a point when he's talking about this. And now what we've learned through rediscovering it once again is that everybody now agrees what happened. There is a laptop. It has a lot of incriminating and allegedly culpable material on it. It is Hunter Biden's. It has been authenticated, and it was suppressed by a couple of different outfits. So Twitter apparently suppressed parts of this story, along with the Biden campaign team. Now, doesn't that remind you of another story that the left was saying? How funny is it that the projection they have in them is so strong? The left told you, after Donald Trump won the 2016 election, that he was not a legitimate president because his campaign colluded with the Russians. So it was his campaign. They were colluding with the Russians, and that interfered with the election result. Well, if that was the case, then why isn't the same sort of outcry, the same sort of interest, the same sort of attention being given to this story where the Joe Biden campaign colluded with big tech, specifically with Twitter, to suppress a story that was not favorable to the Biden family? Now, that's bad enough. But on top of it, the second bombshell that we learned out of this was the fact that the FBI may have been involved as well. I've heard some people say, well, that's Donald Trump's FBI. Well, no, it wasn't. That FBI, the DOJ, there are some tenuous ties to the executive. But let's remember, certain parts of the deep state were trying to take. Did y'all forget the two impeachments? Certain parts of the deep state were trying to take Donald Trump out for 4 years straight. So Donald Trump was not controlling various elements of the government. He did not have direct control over various elements of the government that were trying to take him out for 4 years long. And they're continuing to do it up to this point. Using tools, here's an interesting quote. Using tools originally designed to combat the likes of spam and financial fraudsters, staff and executives at Twitter caved to outside pressure to censor and stifle speech. First just a little, then more often, then constantly. This pressure, as the Elon Musk Twitter dump shows, came directly from Joe Biden's team and the DNC. Just one example of the many thousands that you can look at on the internet. One internal email shows a Twitter executive discussing a list of tweets sent by the Biden team for deletion on October the 24th, 2020, barely 2 weeks before the election. Another Twitter executive replied, handled these. Another email from that same data shows an executive discussing another request, this one filed by the DNC. In May of 2020, President Trump had signed an executive order on preventing online censorship that made it the policy of the United States to foster clear ground rules promoting free and open debate on the internet. It also ensured that federal tax dollars did not finance online platforms restricting free speech. The examples are infinite of that just happening. Will there be any accountability for this? Will there be any ramifications? It seems that maybe the left's complete outcry about Elon Musk's Twitter now being very different from Jack Dorsey's Twitter is that some of this information that's been suppressed for the last 2 years is finally going to be known to the entire world and not just a little bit of it. And that's the stump speech for today, May the 5th, December the 5th, 2022.
Chris wishes it was May the 5th.
Exactly.
I bet he does.
So does the Constitution be terminated because of this disclosure?
The tweet from Donald Trump?
Yes.
Yeah. He put out a subsequent tweet about that. I'll have to find it. And he said that's not what he meant and not what he said. So, it is interesting, though, Chris, because what do you do with a story where everyone, I don't know if not everyone, but a great majority of people agree that if the law had not been violated, that Joe Biden may not have been elected president?
Yeah, I mean,
what do we do about these situations now after the fact?
I think what you do is you try to put in measures so that something like this never happens again. You make sure that the public knows about this so that they can never try to do something like this as well. You can't put the toothpaste back into the toothpaste. No. You can't reinstate the president back into the position. You just have to make the public as aware as you can about the situation so that maybe that scares people into not doing something like this again because it's been done.
Yeah, you're right. You absolutely cannot put the genie back in the bottle, you know, and that's a problem. And that's why the cure to bad speech or speech you don't like is not to censor that speech in the United States of America, but to promote more speech, to have more debate, to have more discussion, and not have one big tech platform suppressing something that should have come out.
before the election. I agree with that 100%. But as I said earlier in the show, I think that this this revelation from Twitter helps bolster the investigations that we're going to have into Hunter Biden, because, as I said, they were just trying to say this is just a witch hunt. You just want to investigate the president. Well, this Twitter dump legitimizes these investigations big time.
It puts the Republicans on a little firmer ground, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't make it look like, oh, okay, well, now the Republicans are in power, so now they're just going to investigate Hunter Biden, because of course they are. This kind of, in a way, the timing of this is perfect for the incoming House majority.
I don't think that's coincidental either. You think Elon released this stuff right in time so that?
Oh no!
And
you know what?
Yeah, this was This was not coincidental. He released this now.
And revenge is best served cold. You know,
perfect timing.
And he couldn't release it before he bought the company.
Yeah.
But it just happened that he was able to buy the company. And the Republicans happen to win the House, and so why not? This is the perfect time to do it.
And it's a perfect time to do it because usually December is a slow news month. People are getting into the holidays and Christmas. Well, not this holiday season. We're going to be talking about the Twitter dump.
I wonder if they're a little more nervous over at the Biden household.
They should
these days.
Be.
Yeah.
They should
and
be.
I find it interesting that there's been no legal pushback in these 2 years. Two plus years. I haven't seen a lawsuit filed against Miranda Devine.
Nope.
Against the New York Post.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Nobody sued her for defamation or slander of character or anything like that.
Yeah. I don't think, Tim, you're the attorney. I don't think there's a First Amendment case here because Twitter is a private company. If they decided to not post this, they can do that. But the ethical aspect of it, I mean, my God, you are the platform and this is an election and you are suppressing this information. Where the ethical is.
Yeah.
The aspect of it.
You're right. If it was purely Twitter's decision, Chris, you're 1,000% correct. A private company gets to do what they want. It's when they start colluding, when they start working with, remember, that was the whole thing with the Russian collusion, that Donald Trump was working with a foreign government.
But can they collude with the Biden campaign? They weren't officially part of the government. Is that collusion, if they're doing it with a campaign, is that illegal?
No, but the FBI collusion would have been.
Okay.
That's where you get the big government. That's where you get your First Amendment concerns in. And your second concern, though, Chris, is right. It's the hypocrisy of all of it, right? It's like we're going to yell and scream about Donald Trump and fake phony Russian boogeymen, but we're not going to talk about China and the Biden family there. It's like, if one is bad, why isn't both bad? If one should have been pursued, then why aren't both being pursued? I think that's people's problem, is if you only were to listen to ABC, NBC, and CBS Nightly News, you may have hardly heard of this, right? You may have hardly heard of this at all up to this point. And what's her face over at 60 Minutes, Leslie Stahl, should send an apology and a bouquet of roses to Donald Trump.
What will be interesting, though, once more of this information comes out, conservatives, we're going to be salivating over this. We're all going to be saying, look, we've told you so. Come on, can't you see it? I'm wondering what are the Democrats, of course, are going to be saying this is all BS, you know, old news. I'm wondering, again, you know, the group that seems to have all the power in the United States, the moderates in the middle of the road, independent types, I wonder what their reactions are going to be once this Twitter information becomes more and more known. That is the big question mark.
I agree. Where is Americans' innate sense of fairness and justice on this story? Where is it coming down? Maybe we could ask Susie more about that when we come back. She's a great person to ask those deep philosophical questions of. We'll talk to her next. She's, of course, with Red State. Keep it right here. We'll have that discussion next at 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Will you be able to put in the hundreds of millions of dollars that so many mayors are asking for to shore up border security in the next few weeks? You're from California. So a number of California mayors wrote this letter this past week.
I'm not familiar with the letter. I'm a member of the Homeland Security Appropriations Committee, though. I can tell you these are conversations that we continue to have with our Republican colleagues each and every year as part of the regular order of the appropriations process. The number one goal is to fund government.
I'm the boss.
That's
how about
right.
That?
I'm walking on
sunshine. As she does on Monday evenings around this time, Susie Moore of Red State, Deputy Managing Editor at Red State, and frequent host, contributor, and all-around Jill of all trades, joining us once again here at Smoozy Q on Twitter. Susie, good afternoon. Welcome back. Good to have you today.
Hi, Susie.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say all around bon vivant.
That's not an insult, is it?
No.
I'm just kidding.
Susie, so how about that? I don't know if you'd heard that comment over the weekend by Aguilar there. I guess my question, Susie, it doesn't go to the crux of the point there, which is that, well, of course, he hasn't seen this letter that was sent to every single mayor in his congressional district. But, Susie, isn't this how the Dems, this is how the left and the national corporate media kind of play things, right? Whether it's the Hunter Biden laptop story or this or anything else, it's they play dumb as long as they can, and then when they finally get caught or the story just cannot be suppressed any longer, they say, oh, that's just old news, we're gonna move on now.
Right. I found out about it by watching the news, and then it's old news. But, you know, it's a very effective, you know, evasion mechanism that they seem to excel at. I didn't hear the clip, but I know we had an article up that talked about basically all three of the leaders, the new leaders coming in for the Democrats, all have their own issues as far as what they're being willfully blind to.
Susie, you are still deputy managing editor of redstate.com, correct?
Last time I checked.
Okay. The top story that's trending on Red State is creepy porn lawyer Michael Avenatti gets the shaft. Were you responsible for approving that headline?
I actually came up with that headline.
Did you?
I'm gonna claim ownership of that one, because when I was suggesting that someone cover the story, I threw that out there, and we decided we're gonna go ahead and go with that.
Very creative.
Wow.
I'm guilty as charged.
What's the detail? Because I was more fascinated with the title than reading the story.
Well, of course you are. Yeah, but you should click on the story to read it, Chris. Of course. Michael Avenatti was sentenced to 14 years in prison by a federal judge today for some of his additional criminal behavior. So I think that makes his grand total 19 years. He will be a bit long in the tooth by the time he is released from prison.
Hmm. And you serve 85% of the sentence in federal sentencing, right? You have to?
That's
my understanding.
That's Tim's specialty.
Okay. Tim, is that correct? You got to serve 85%?
Generally true. You can sometimes get it reduced a little bit more for a really special good time. And he's not going to be, you know, look, you know, no federal prison is a country club, but he'll likely be in a very, 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 very minimum security. They call them
kind of like where Steve Stanger is.
Yeah, they actually. I think, Susie, they call them camps. I think they do call them like some kind of camp or something. You know, it's not really.
I've heard club fed before.
Yeah. Look, none of it's fun. None of it's interesting. None of it's exciting. I know many people of white collar stuff. You know that's happened to. But Michael Avenatti, though. I mean, Susie, how the mighty have fallen. This was a guy that you could not turn on CNN, MSNBC, or any of the others back a few years ago, and they were talking about him as being a serious Democrat. We have to remind the Democrats of this, right? Because they wanted to destroy history.
And he's a St. Louisan, and let's not forget that.
Oh, he's a Parkway Central grad. Yes, he is.
Susie, there's another interesting story. We haven't talked about this much. There's a lot of people who are continuing with the post-mortem of election 2022 and arguing, like Kira Davis is, who you can hear sometimes sub-hosting for Dan Bongino on our program every day from 11 to 2. She wrote an article titled, "The RNC Needs Change, Not Another Round of Mediocrity." They're saying, look, you didn't win the Senate. In fact, you may be losing the Senate. You're not even going to maintain the status quo, possibly, after tonight. You barely won the House. The red wave was barely perceptible. It was only in a few strange places like Miami-Dade County, New York, and California, not across the rest of the nation. And so they're saying people like Ronna McDaniel, the current RNC chair, needs to go. What say you, Susie, about that? Time for a change at the top?
Yeah, I think that's a fair question to ask. I mean, she's had several election cycles now where she's been in charge, and the results have been they've been underwhelming, let's just say. And so I think that it's fine to be pushing back on that and say, you know what, maybe she's not the direction the party needs to be going. Because by now, I mean, the Republican Party should they should have failed to a substantial, substantial number of pickups in the House and should have been able to win back the Senate. And I know there are a lot of variables involved there, but she is being challenged now. I think Harmeet Dhillon has signaled that she may challenge Ron McDaniel for it. Yeah, and then there's Lee Zeldin is toying with it as well, and he's going to, I think, make his formal announcement tomorrow whether he's going to or not. And, of course, Mike Lindell has already said that he's going to vie for the spot. So she's definitely going to face some challenges.
Susie, everyone that knows you knows that you are a huge Mizzou fan. You travel up to Columbia and go to the games. Wondering if you are going to be traveling to the Gasparilla Bowl that Mizzou was invited to in Florida. And I want to get your thoughts on the rumor that Mizzou turned down an invitation to play Kansas in a bowl game. And as a Mizzou alumna, what do you think of that?
Well, I will tell you this. I am not going to be traveling to the Gasparilla Bowl.
Have you ever heard of the Gasparilla Bowl before
today? I have not. And as much as I love my Tigers, no. I'm not doing much traveling these days between work responsibilities and having a puppy dog. It's not a lot of travel on my agenda. But I actually had not heard about the rumors about them turning down a bowl game with Kansas. Obviously, Kansas is a longtime rival of Mizzou. If you are like me and a kid of the 70s and 80s, I mean, they were our most hated rival in football for many, many years, and also in basketball. And so I'm surprised by that, but maybe I don't know what bowl it was that they were considering. So maybe this one was more advantageous from a money perspective or a geography perspective.
Kevin Slayton, as you know, who is not shy about his opinions on things, talked about this on his Facebook page over the weekend, and he was livid about it. He called the program weak and that they were scared to play Kansas and they need to just clean out the whole crew and get rid of them. There was, and it was supposed to be the Liberty Bowl.
I'm sure they'll take Kevin's advice under consideration.
Well, he's a proud graduate, too.
I don't doubt it.
Susie, have you been following this, what became really wild case before the Supreme Court today on religious liberty? This is the latest case we have on the lunatic, tyrannical, authoritarian left. It's not enough for us, Susie, to have the freedom of expression and beliefs anymore. You have to have certain beliefs. You have to only do certain expressions. Otherwise, you're going to be forced to do them, apparently, in the modern United States of America. Have you been following that case at all, Susie, this current one that was before this court today?
A little bit. I've read our coverage on it. I didn't get to listen to the oral arguments yet, although I understand that they were a little spicy in a couple places. So I'm kind of anxious to maybe listen in on that when I get a chance.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's once again Colorado, and they're kind of irrational method of basically maintaining you will be made to care. It wasn't enough to force the cake baker to bake a gay wedding cake. Now you have to have a web designer design a website for a gay wedding which goes against her beliefs.
Yeah, Susie, to follow up on this, speaking of spicy, your colleague Bonchi wrote an article about this, and he's got two quick quotes here, one from Justice Barrett and one from Gorsuch, kind of proving this point of how far the left has gone on the thought police. So Barrett says, can a designer decline to serve a Catholic club because they disagree with their views on marriage? The Solicitor General said, well, yes, it's status. It's not status-based discrimination. And then she follows up and says, but the designer can't decline to do an SSM, you know, not the hospital, the sexual preference, same-sex marriage. Yes, because same-sex marriage is inextricably intertwined with status and religion isn't. So, Susie, your identity as a Christian, Jewish person, Buddhist, Hindu, that's not your identity, but your sexual preference is? That seems to be quite a bit of doublespeak.
Yeah, that was quite a pretzel twist there. I don't think that was a very persuasive argument. Something tells me that the conservative wing of the court is probably not going to buy the argument. The one who didn't really have a whole lot to say today, so we don't really know where he's, kind of coming from on it, is Kavanaugh. And of course, Chief Justice Roberts, who's always kind of a wild card. But it wouldn't surprise me, and the right decision should be to maintain that you can't compel expression like this. You're talking about creative expression. I mean, you can totally respect people's views on the issue, but you shouldn't be allowed to force them to, you know, espouse your views on it.
Susie, as a person who studied the Constitution in law school, I want to get your thoughts on the president's remarks, former president's remarks over the weekend that the Constitution should be terminated. He has walked that back, and he said that elections should be called for the, quote, rightful winner if there is, quote, blatant fraud.
Well, I think that the president is entitled to his opinion about what how elections should be handled. But whether or not that means that you scrap the Constitution if you find out there was something wrong, I think that's... Let me back up a little bit. I know there are some who are maintaining, including him, who are now maintaining that that's not what he said. Mm-hmm. I think a very fair reading of what he said is exactly that. If he meant something else, he should have been more clear about that, because when it comes to talking about the Constitution, you can't afford to be sloppy with your terminology. So if he didn't mean to imply that because there was problems with the 2020 election, that the Constitution can and should be terminated, then he should have expressed it otherwise, and that's on him. Even if that was not his intent, that's certainly how it reads, certainly how it comes across. But even so, I don't agree with the premise that, you know, a fraudulent or rigged or stolen, however you want to phrase it, election equals scrapping the Constitution. No, the Constitution is there to help us deal with problems that arise. If something is wrong, you address it how you can within the bounds of the Constitution. To say you just scrap it because things didn't go your way, well, then we're all built on quicksand.
Yeah, and Susie, isn't it interesting? You know, the president, former President Trump, says a lot of things he needs to walk back all the time. The hypocrisy, Susie, once again, with everything these days in the media is there have been plenty of Democrats that have argued for in runs around the Constitution. I mean, Senator Murphy from Connecticut basically argued that 2 weeks ago on the Sunday morning talk shows when he said, you know what? If these states are going to continue to claim that under the Second Amendment that they get to be sanctuary cities for the Second Amendment, well, then we're just gonna have to find a way around that. So, you know, Democrats use that kind of allegorical language all the time, but they don't get the media doesn't light their hair on fire, right? But anytime Donald Trump does, either call them both out or call neither of them out, I guess is my point.
Well, yeah, consistency is key. I mean, you either believe in the founding principles and the framework that we have to operate in, and you stand by it and uphold it, or you don't. And you should be consistent in that.
What's new on Red State?
Well, of course, we've been covering all the fallout from the Twitter files. I mean, there's so many angles. And we know it's not, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's more information to come. So that's been covered pretty thoroughly. Obviously, the fallout from Trump's statements is kind of big news, and in his subsequent kind of clarification, if you will. I had an article up earlier today about the fact that, you know, we've heard a lot about all the fraud involved with the COVID relief funds. Well, now the Secret Service is saying that some of that fraud was committed by Chinese hackers that are tied to the Chinese government.
Shocker.
Which, yeah, I know, big shocker. But this is the first time it's been actually tied as a state action, as opposed to foreign nationals acting, you know, from a criminal enterprise. Oh. This is actually tied to the Chinese government.
Everybody got a little piece of the PP bunny, it looks like. My God, yeah. You're in China.
Yes, including the country that gave us the gift to begin with. Right?
Exactly, good point.
Excellent indeed. You can read all of Susie's stuff and all of that, her colleagues, at redstate.com. Follow her at SmoozyQ. Listen to her frequently here on News Talk STL. Susie, thanks for all the time, as always. We'll speak with you again next week.
Thank you, Susie.
Thanks, y'all. Have a great evening.
You too, as well. All right, folks, it's 5:43, almost 5:44 in the p.m. We've got one segment left this hour, and then we got the 6 o'clock hour straight ahead. We're going to talk to Jason Greer of Greer Consulting about the ongoing fallout of the railroad strike involving the railroad unions, and Jim Talent of the Reagan Institute's National Leadership Council. All of that straight ahead here at 101.9/94.1 as Chris Arps takes us to the break.
Yeah.
News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
After months of discussion, I agree to Gillian Hunter Biden's request to become CEO of the entity to be called Sinohawk. Sino representing the Chinese side, Hawk representing Hunter Biden's brother Bo's favorite animal. On May 2nd, 2017, the night before Joe Biden was to appear at the Milken Conference, I was introduced to Joe Biden by Jim Biden and Hunter Biden. At my approximately hour-long meeting with Joe that night, we discussed the Biden's history, the Biden's family business plans with the Chinese, with which he was plainly familiar, at least at a high level. After that meeting, I had numerous communications with Hunter, Walker, Gilyear, and Jim Biden regarding the allocation of the equity ownership of Sinohawk. On May 13, 2017, I received an email concerning allocation of equity, which says 10% held by H for the big guy. In that email, there's no question that H stands for Hunter, big guy for his father, Joe Biden, and Jim for Jim Biden. In fact, Hunter often referred to his father as the big guy or my chairman. On numerous occasions, it was made clear to me that Joe Biden's involvement was not to be mentioned in writing, but only face to face.
Chris, I went ahead and played that because you mentioned Bublinski earlier today. I thought we'd play an oldie but a goodie there. I mean, come on. All you got to do is reverse the names. If this guy, Bublinski, was giving exposés on national cable shows about the Trump family, he'd be everywhere all the time, wouldn't he?
You know, I said this when this first came out, and it shows just a dereliction of duty by the media. I mean, there are literally several Pulitzer Prizes that are just waiting to be grabbed for this story. I mean, you have a president, vice president of the United States at the time, basically selling his office while his family members profit off of it. And you have a man here whose reputation and integrity is impeccable, is a naval officer, so no one's going to question his credibility. He's also a very successful businessman in his own right. The fact that this is not a major story and we're talking about impeachment hearings for Joe Biden just astounds me, that most of the public knows nothing about this.
Yeah, and you know, unlike the left, I think we always on the right have a healthy dose of skepticism when something like this happens. So at first, when Bublinski came up, I'm like, okay, well, why is this guy doing this? Does he have an axe to grind? Blah, blah, blah. Is he going to write a book? But you know what, Chris? He came out 2 years ago, more than 2 years ago. He hasn't written any books. He hasn't inked any movie deals. I don't know what he's gotten out of it other than probably a lot of attacks from people like the Clintonistas and the Biden family.
That as well. And if you remember when his expose came out, his family had to be placed under protective order.
Yeah,
that
dangerous.
His personal safety was on the line for coming out for this. He took a big risk. As you said, he hasn't written any books. He hasn't made any money off of this. He just wanted the American people to know the truth when he went into the voting booth that the president, the person that they could possibly elect as president of the United States, is compromised.
This makes Watergate look like a Tupperware party.
Oh, it does. I mean, it does. I've said that.
Because so first you had everything we just discussed, and we don't even know the whole of it, right? We know that there was a lot of questionable dealings going on between the Biden family and the Chinese and the Ukrainians and the you know, I thought the Russian connection would have gotten the left a little interested because they were so Russia, Russia, Russia with Trump. Well, Hunter Biden had some business dealings going on with the former Moscow mayor. I can't remember her name right now, but there was some questionable deal that he was doing with her. Okay, so first of all, you had the business dealings. Then you've got the cover-up, right? You've got the cover-up, and the cover-up has been... Usually the cover-up at least gets some people interested. That's what Watergate was all about.
Yeah.
And it's been crickets largely, and now the media and the White House are saying, well, you know, yeah, that thing there, that was an old story, and so, yeah, oh, yeah, I guess it happened, but, you know, poor Hunter Biden, poor crackhead Hunter Biden, leave the poor man alone. He's got a lot of... You guys are picking on him. Now is what they're arguing.
Well, I don't think that argument is going to particularly fly, especially after Elon Musk starts releasing more and more of this data. When the Congress changes hands next year and Republicans are in control of these investigative committees and have subpoenas, and look, I would do the same thing, but they're going to be leaking like a sieve with things that they have discovered. The Biden administration is ahead of has a rough road ahead of them. After these elections, they were talking about how Joe Biden's this political genius. He's a resurrected. We need to keep him now. I hope they enjoy that short reprieve that they have of him having a new life, because they are about to hit some serious rough seas next January.
He's a super damaged candidate. Mm-hmm. He is not in good health. He is extremely old. He is not he's not a Bernie Sanders old, right? Bernie Sanders is older than Joe Biden and seems to be absolutely fine. Age affects people differently. Joe Biden should not be running for president. Plus, he's got all these problems. If this is who they think that they need to run in 24, I guess go for it, because it should be interesting.
I mean, they honestly believe that even in the limited capacity that he is, that because he has beaten Donald Trump in 2020, that is proof that he can beat him in 2024. They feel that the public so loathes Donald Trump that they'll even vote for an incapacitated Joe Biden instead of bringing former President Trump back to the White House.
Yeah, they're running the gambit that every single living, breathing Democrat, and maybe some who are not, will vote for Joe Biden wherever they can harvest those ballots from, and that the Republican Party and the conservatarian, libertarian world will be divided against itself on their very strong feelings on Donald Trump, one way or the other.
Yeah, I think Donald Trump is the linchpin in this 2024 election. Either way it goes, either he wins the nomination, and the Republicans have to deal with that potential fallout. Can he win independents and moderates? Or you have the question of that if he does not win the nomination, does he do a I'm taking my ball and go home and run third party, or doesn't throw his full support behind the potential nominee? A lot of drama ahead in the coming months.
Yes, there is, and we will be here to cover it all. Folks, before we get out of this hour, we'll remind you that we gave away our first prize today for the St. Louis Conservative Christmas. We'll do that again tomorrow at 5:10 and every day therefore. Did you know? Yeah, I got a fun little item here near the end of the show. This is according to the Morning Brew this morning. They're wishing a happy birthday to the world's oldest living land animal. You guys want to guess what that, or did you see it, or do you want to guess
what
that is?
I saw that. I couldn't believe how old that thing was.
I couldn't
was.
Either.
My God.
Stell, you want to take a guess what the oldest living land animal might be?
Is it a turtle?
You got it. It's a turtle, goodness, and it's one of those turtles down in the Seychelles. Mm-hmm. The Seychelles, down in the tropic area. I'm sorry. He is a Seychelles. I don't know. I'm not sure where he is.
By Africa.
Okay. He's a Seychelles giant tortoise. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they've got him in captivity or if he's in the wild. But they're wishing a happy birthday to Jonathan, the world's oldest living land animal. The Seychelles giant tortoise is thought to have been born in 1832.
Yeah, 190 years old.
190 years old. How? If only that turtle could talk, right?
Exactly.
Right? The things it would tell us, you know?
I just wonder how does it have... I wonder if scientists have done any type of... research on why those animals live so long. You know, human beings are the animals that usually live a long time. You know, our cats, our dogs live 10, 15 years. That's it. Why do these turtles live freaking 200 years? 200 years. I'd like to know that.
All I can say is I have a high school friend who's had turtles his entire life, and that might be why I guessed that, Tim. Mm-hmm. And he still has three or four of them, and takes care of them every day from high school.
You know what?
When I knew him in high school. Yeah. He probably has had them since grade school. Now that you mentioned
it. I'm not sure how much of an expert he is, but we could get my dad on to talk about longevity of turtles. I do remember when I was a kid, Dad took care of some weird things. In fact, his tagline for the animal hospital was small animals and exotic pets. Mm. And he took care of ferrets and turtles, and people bring in snakes and birds and all kinds of weird things.
The one thing that I've always wanted to ask we'll bring it up.
Yeah. We will bring it up tomorrow. We'll be back right after this with Jason Greer, 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.